You are listening to the Release Society podcast with your Release Society president, Sister Sarah Dot Taylor. Impurity culture at its finest.
We're good. We'll just go ahead.
We're so good.
It's starting to record. You are now on the Release Society podcast.
Ooh, hello.
I am your Release Society president. No. Yes, it's Release Society.
Should be called High Release Society.
I mean, really? Right now, with how I'm stumbling over my own goddamn name of my podcast? Yeah, we should change the name. But yeah, I am your Release Society president, Sarah Dot Taylor. And we've got Sean.
Alf. Sean Alf here with you talking. I am not high. I did smoke a CBD joint, though, beforehand. So
he's high on life.
Yeah, just living it up. Here.
I mean, really, truly. There's anal fisting rubber dildos to my right.
There's a framed picture of a girl's ass with a butt plug in it right next to those. And there's dicks everywhere.
There really is dicks everywhere.
Yeah.
Barbie's taking shits.
There's Barbie's taking shits. Where there's a mushroom pillow, a very colorful rug.
A riveting book collection.
A spaceship chair. There's just a lot going on here.
It's a vibe.
Yeah. And we have velvet red curtains in case a performance is going to break out.
Or we do the Tinder Bachelor thing.
Yes, yes.
That would be the rose ceremony room.
That would, yeah.
Anyway, You can't be acting like you're high right now. Someone's got to steer the ship. Just kidding. But am I? Yeah, so we've got Sean here. Sean... I guess I'll kind of introduce you, because we're still getting to know each other.
We are, yes. Yeah. We met on Tinder. We matched.
I got the final rose.
I had several pictures of me with fish, just different fish.
I thought you were holding puppies by their ankles.
Yeah, and piglets, and chickens, just different animals. I held different animals.
Well, actually, you do have a picture of you holding an animal.
That's true, in the bathroom. So it's behind the door. You go into the bathroom and you sit on the toilet. You shut the door. And then you see a picture of me shirtless in a Speedo with a dog around my neck.
The thing about it is are you the only person using that bathroom?
No, a lot of random people use that bathroom. And
okay.
It's there purely for the shock value of you coming out of the bathroom.
Yeah, I was shocked.
Yeah. But how did it feel when you were looking at me while peeing?
What
was going through your head?
Honestly, I was wondering who let you hold their dog in your underwear.
This is a photographer. The photographer was like,
that poor dog.
No, that dog was amazing. That dog was so docile. You could do anything with the dog.
That's what I mean. Yeah. That's what they say about people who are easily, you know. Oh, that person was handicapped. That person was paralyzed. They don't have no decision-making abilities.
Right, it was a dog. The dog loved it, though.
Awesome human. Yeah, just kidding. Yeah, dogs are different. It's a different breed. So as far as how I know Sean, I saw you around on Instagram.
Around the block.
Just around, yeah. But, so my agency, Motley, threw an event for the summer, and you were at the event air humping legs.
Well, it wasn't air humping because I was making contact with the legs, so it was genuine...
Genuine grind.
Grinding. I mean, you could say dry humping, but I would say wet humping because it was a pool party, and let's be honest.
I never saw you get in the pool.
I was in the pool. I have pictures.
Are you? Okay. Yeah. Or was your leg just wet?
Well, maybe a little bit of both.
There was genuine momentum happening between you and
I was also wearing, like, short pink shorts. At the beginning of the day, I had a captain's hat, but that got stolen by my humping partner, Lumi Ray.
And that is how
I
saw you, because she reposted it.
Yeah, so we just humped a bunch of people at this pool party, and then we made a little video of it. And that's when Sarah fell in love with me. And she's like,
wait, how did that... Hold on. Wait. Did I slide into your DMs? How did that happen? No. How did this happen? How did we, like... Because then there was another pool party, which you're
always
invited.
Okay, I think what happened was... You followed me, and I remember seeing your ass at the pool party, because I kept seeing, I was like, who's this ass? Because you had, like, very muscular butt. It was very recognizable.
Yeah, everybody was asking who that was.
Right.
They couldn't tell because I wasn't wearing a bikini.
Right.
I was wearing a one-piece swimsuit. And do you know why I did that?
To stand out.
Yes.
Yeah, and it worked.
I did because they were like, does she work in marketing?
Like, I think you're like the hot lifeguard.
Yeah, except my thing was green.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
So I think you added me and then you commented on one of my videos, but it wasn't like a full-blown comment. It was probably like a ha-ha or something.
Probably.
You know what it was? Is you liked the humping video and I said, I apologize that I didn't hump your leg at the party.
Yep.
That's how it started.
I think I do remember that. I don't know what happened. Honestly, I really don't know
what happened. Our friendship just bloomed from
there.
I think
it turned into social media. You were like, oh, I'm doing... Because you work with...
So I work with Balesa mainly, but I work with several directors, Jackie St. James and Mike Quasar are the main ones.
So you're going to have to go slow for our audience because you have to understand, the audience doesn't know who Balesa is.
Oh, okay.
And you just listed names.
So much. They're going to
have to. It's so... Because you have to remember, you were talking to me and I was like, who's...
Yeah. Who's and what? You're in porn.
I know. I'm so new. But Balesa is... How would you describe Balesa to the audience?
Balesa, which means feminine beauty, is their market. They're trying to make porn more for women. And so they have erotic stories on there. They have a lot of toys. And they also have porn. Porn is just one aspect of what they're doing. So I work in the porn aspect of it. And I'm the creative director is Jackie St. James. And she's done directing in the adult industry for a variety of people. But they wanted her... because they wanted a woman in charge, and she's fantastic. And their main thing with porn now is they're going for authenticity, so there's not a lot of scripting stories, but what they'll do is, our main one, Bless a House, they'll get two performers who, let's say, have always wanted to work together, or who maybe some exes, or people who have been on each other's no list, or whatever, just somebody who has a unique story, who want to work together, and then we interview them separately, and then they interact for the first time on camera and we film all of it. So what's different about it is you're seeing all of the behind the scenes stuff that happens before the sex happens. And that's kind of really what the focus is with it. And recently they approached me about doing a series called Zero to Hero, which is about a guy who was not a porn star starting to do porn, a very average guy. I have a
which
very...
is actually who you are.
Yes.
And actually your story.
Yeah. And so I started shooting scenes for them, and yeah, so I've started performing too now.
And yes, you have.
And yes, I have.
They've upped the ante quite a bit.
Yeah.
Just keeps going bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, they keep putting me with more famous and famous porn stars too. They're trying to humiliate me is really what
it is.
Do you
really think, well, you are the cuck holding
king? Yeah,
daddy king.
I just had a new cuck holding movie come out.
How many cuck holding films have you done?
I don't know, but
you've lost count.
I'm on the cover of a lot. I'm probably on the box cover of more porns than most I would say most porn performers as like a cuck holder or background person.
Yeah.
And the reason being is porns, we don't have that much money to make the movie, so you just have to make it as cheap. So I'm a crew member, and I also don't mind being on camera. So when they need extras and non-sex actors, they'll be like, well, hey, why can you be in this? So
yep.
A cuckold, for the people who don't know, is I'll be married to a woman, and then she has sex with somebody else. Sometimes it's with my consent, which is more what hot wifing is, or sometimes it's behind my back, or sometimes I haven't really done this one, but the cuckolding where the guy watches and the bull makes fun of the cuckold the whole time and degrades him.
Oh, have you done the penis in a cage?
Oh, the cock cage?
Yeah.
I have not done that.
I've seen a video like that.
Although, a movie that I wrote with Joanna Angel for Burning Angel, it was... she owned this dungeon, and she was pretending it was a furniture store, so she was trying to sell all of the dungeon equipment as furniture equipment. And I was locked in a cage for an entire sex scene.
Oh my god!
And I was like handing them dildos and things. So my dick was in a cage, but in a way, but yeah, I haven't done the cock cage.
So you've really just been the guy who just so happened upon, because you're a writer.
Right, yes.
And
so
did you start out writing about porn, or was it like mainstream writing, like books or newspaper articles or what?
So I started working for a weekly alternative paper in Tampa called Creative Loafing. And I originally started working for them as like a street teamer, which is like a, you go to events and you like get people's emails. But the reason I started doing that is because each week the person would write a column about where they went and what they did. And so I took that job as a way to start writing for them. And like everything else that's happened in my career, I get my foot in the door, and once I get my foot in the door, then you will fall in love with me.
So you're not sticking your dick in the door.
Well, you could say I was sticking
my
dick in the
door. Well, now maybe, yes. But like for the men listening who want to get in,
yes,
your dick's not getting you in the door.
No,
unless
no.
You're
and
a special or exception.
Yes, correct. So I was writing, I don't know how much of the story you want to hear, but basically the paper was dying and they're trying to switch to a web-first model and they're trying to get more web traffic, and what sells online is sex. So they wanted somebody to write about sex and love.
Can we expose your age range? Because you're talking about going from paper to internet.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm 40.
Okay.
So I was born in 1982. Yeah, so I was a sex and love writer, and in Tampa there's a huge strip club scene, there's a huge swinger, nudist resort, fetish community, fetish con is there, mm-hmm. And the Night Moves Porn Awards is there, and so I started writing about all of these things, and I started writing more about porn, and once you write about one porn star, all of the PR agents see that, and then they start pitching you stories, so... my first feature dancer that I wrote about was Jenna Hayes, which she was this huge female porn performer in mid-2000s, I think. Weirdly enough, she recently started following me.
She did?
Yeah. It was one of those moments that, like, I used to masturbate to you, but then also it was, like, the first person I interviewed in porn. And now she's out of porn.
Wow. And now
I'm
in
you're
it. In porn.
Yeah. It's very,
like imposter
strange.
Syndrome, but in a new
right,
way.
Right. Anyway, so that led down this rabbit hole. I ended up moving to California, and I started going to set maybe twice a month. I would write for AVN and XBiz and Hustler.
And those, so XBiz and AVN, because I just learned this. Mm-hmm. Those are adult, like, industry news outlets.
Yeah, industry
outlets.
News outlets.
It's like the BuzzFeed? Or
sort
like,
of. Yeah, I mean.
It's like the CNN, or just, it's just they're dedicated, because the mainstream news outlets are not, like,
correct.
E-Network,
they're not
writing.
Coming in,
so
no.
It's like their version, the adult
exactly,
version. Okay.
Exactly. And AVN is the one that has the big porn awards every year that you
which
guys
is in
see.
Vegas.
Yes.
Is it every year?
Yes.
And I actually already got my room.
Oh, do you?
I'm going.
That's exciting. I'll be there too.
Go.
So if you guys want to see us, you can come meet us in Vegas in January. Oh, so I was writing, I was on set a lot, and so I started meeting more and more people behind the scenes, and then I met Jackie St. James, and she needed help writing scripts, because she was directing, and she just didn't have time to write all the scripts, and that was always my goal, was to use writing to get in, and so I was like, she said, I'll give you the job as my production assistant, but I need you to live in L.A., and so I put in my 2 week notice at my job, and moved to L.A.
From Florida?
No, from, this was when I was in California.
Okay.
But I had always kind of envisioned this, my path going there. So I started working behind the scenes with her. And as it turns out in porn, everybody will hire you if you just show up and do a good job.
Yeah, if you, just
you don't
show up
have
on
to
time.
Be great. Yeah, show up on time. Don't complain. Don't be a fucking creep, which is a huge one. And just do a good job and not have an ego. And, you know, like you got to understand, like, I'm cleaning up bodily fluids. And like cleaning up douches, handing out douches. Like this
as
is not
the PA.
As a PA, correct. But since then, work just kind of snowballed. I worked for pretty much every director, and I've written scripts, and I've won 2 AVN awards for scripts, and wrote for just a lot of different people. And so I've been behind the scenes a lot. And then Balesa approached me about this project of getting in front of the camera, and people were actually taking bets on how long it would take me before I got in front of the camera.
And they were?
Yeah. So.
And that's crazy.
I took the leap.
This was Were you doing the cuckolding stuff at that time when people were making bets?
The cuckolding
stuff. I'm just asking. Yeah,
I mean, so the cuckolding stuff, it was sort of a joke in the beginning. It was more like Jackie, they didn't do hardcore cuckolding stuff. Like hardcore cuckolding stuff, there are actually like really good cucks who are like...
Yeah, I've watched it. Like they're literally like, you're the husband right here. Yeah. Sex is happening right here.
And they're like eating their own cum and like...
Like making the husband suck the dick and it's like extreme.
Yeah, I don't do that. So basically it was more like... In stories, the conflict is always around sex for porn. So I would be the boyfriend who gets cheated on or the husband who gets cheated on or basically whoever is not having sex. I'm married or in a relationship with somebody who's...
Is that like an actual fantasy of yours?
To get cheated on?
Why is it a fantasy that they continue to role play? No, there are people that want to be cheated on.
Of course. Of course there are. The people who really do have that fantasy.
I think
it would
just be so devastating.
I think more realistically, people, there's like different mating strategies. And I think there's a lot of people who like will tolerate somebody cheating on them to be with like a higher class of woman. Like there's a lot of, you'll see them in this industry of women who are with guys who are not that attractive, but the guys are like completely okay with them fucking anybody and everybody.
Yeah.
And they help them run all their stuff behind the scenes. So
they just, they like it.
Yeah. Some people actually genuinely.
It's like a turn on.
So it's, have you ever noticed, like, have you ever had breakup sex or makeup sex or.
Yes. It's like, there's like this, I don't want to say animalistic, but this like,
it's a competition.
Like
it's
a sir, yes.
So like for guys specifically, it's a sperm competition thing. So if you suspect somebody is cheating on you animalistically, it makes you want to impregnate them immediately so that your sperm outcompetes
rival
sperm.
I just found this out. The reason the tip of the penis is shaped the way that it is.
It's a scoop to pull out other semen.
Yeah.
So guy like cuckolds have just wired into this where they're aroused by, because most cuckolds want to fuck the wife right after she fucks a lot of other people.
Yeah.
And so semen actually turns on a lot of guys. And, but yeah. So
that's when you join the Navy, folks.
Yeah.
Just kidding. That's quite the background. I did have a question about Balesa. So are they a Barcelona-based company?
No, they are a Canadian-based company.
Canadian. Somebody told me they were from Barcelona, and I was so confused. I was
probably
like,
just because the name, it's a Latin name. I mean, Balesa, I assume it's Spanish, but maybe it's Italian, too.
I don't know. It's a pretty name. Brazzers is from Canada, too.
Yeah, a lot of the big porn companies are based out of Montreal. Pornhub's up there, Mile High.
A lot
high.
Of bees are coming out. Balesa, Brazzers, Bieber.
Bieber. You just threw Bieber in there, too.
Yeah. Bristow. Caitlin Bristow.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who she is?
No.
I didn't think so. That's okay. It's okay. I don't think a lot of people know that she's from the Bachelor series. That's quite the story. So then they just... So then Balesa approached you about...
Yeah. So I got one of the owners... They had this idea, and other people thought that I was the one who like pitched them, but
and
I actually was not.
What was the idea?
So they were like, we want a guy who's not a porn star to do porn, and they wanted to see, like, it's kind of like if you were to take a regular guy and put him in the Olympics just to see how much faster everybody else was running. I feel like that's kind of what they wanted.
Except they clear the field completely.
Yeah.
And just say, we know you know how far these people will run and how fast they run. We want you to do your best.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to make sure none of the actual athletes are on the field.
But so I told him in an email, I was like, look.
It was in an email?
Because they'd asked me and I responded in an email. And I still have it somewhere. But
frame it.
I said, look, I have like the most average dick imaginable.
What's the size of your dick?
It is almost exactly 6 inches. It's inches and a few millimeters over. Yeah, it's the American average.
The American average.
And it's like if your sex ed teacher was to put a condom on like a dildo, my dick would be that dildo.
It's to make like everyone feel
the unintimidating sexy. Like, you know, it looks like a dick.
It's called boyfriend dick.
Yes.
The girls in the industry call it boyfriend
dick. It's the commuter dick, like the one you want to use every day, and not the special occasion one.
Right.
So And I don't have a huge sex drive either. I would say I actually have on the lower end, and I keep it high by not coming most of the time. So most of the guys in the industry are borderline sex addicts, but they've just found like a healthy outlet for it. Like a lot of these guys are banging out 2, sometimes 3 scenes a day.
Oh, yes.
Meanwhile, yeah. I'm coming every 3 days.
I worked with Mick Blue, and he did 2 scenes.
Yeah, that's nothing for me.
I was the second scene.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He had enough for both of us.
So, and I also told him, like, I have high anxiety, and anxiety and boners do not mix well. But he was like, that's perfect. That's why we want you. Because they wanted to see, they didn't want the alpha male porn dude who comes in who has all this confidence, which most of the time when guys come in with a lot of confidence, they fail.
Not even just confidence, but confidence. You didn't have like a resume for people to refer back to and be like, oh, he really is just playing a character.
Yeah.
Like you really did not have anything for people to really refer to other than maybe pictures.
Well, to be fair, I had worked in the industry for so long, so I knew a lot of the people.
But did the audience?
Oh, no, the audience.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So it's really, it's real, though. Like, what they're seeing is real. Like, you are this guy coming in. There's no history on you.
Yeah.
Like, you are that guy. Yeah. It's almost as if they wrote it for you and just don't, they just don't want to admit it.
It could be.
It really could be.
But, yeah, so... I don't know, it was just very... My first scene, I remember it was like a month away, and I couldn't sleep. And I never have problems sleeping because I wake up really early and work out and exhaust myself. So the time when I go to sleep, I sleep hard. But like I was having trouble sleeping, and it was a month away. And then like 2 nights before, I wasn't sleeping well. And then the night before, my heart was... I couldn't go to bed until like 1 a.m. Wow. And then I woke up at 4 a.m. and I just couldn't go back to sleep. So I woke up at 4 a.m. and then worked out for an hour and a half to like calm myself down.
You just had so much camera fright because you were the performer, like the guy that you've watched behind the camera rail chicks, and you're like, that's gonna be me.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't... I've had sex with beautiful women before.
Well, that's the thing. But it's so different when you've got lights, camera, action. Yeah, yeah. Like,
and you have to, okay, do it now. Do it now while we're
it rolling. Really does make me think to when directors, like, you know, a little bit of the smoke screen's going up right now, just a little bit, but that pop shot, the male performer doesn't always decide when that's happening.
It's
the director going, sifting through papers, okay, we're going to rearrange cameras for the pop shot here, and then it's quick, it's happening.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's a lot.
It is a lot. And it's really impossible to explain what it's like to women who don't have to ever think about getting a boner. So all of my entire fear or worry was getting a boner on time. And like, stamina has never been an issue for me. I've usually been able to hold out, and coming usually isn't a problem. It's just, if you have cortisol in you, which is like the stress hormone, your veins tighten up and constrict, or adrenaline pumps through you. Mm-hmm. And constricting blood veins are the death of boners. Boners happen when you're relaxed, which is why morning boners happen, sleep boners, because you're completely relaxed. So the whole trick of it is to figure out how to be comfortable fucking a woman who's out of your league in... while there's lights on you, while there's people waiting on you, and to do it in that moment. And so learning how to relax is really, it's almost counterintuitive because you almost feel like you want to be hyped up for it, but
do some push-ups or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just, and would you say that you had a pretty active sex life leading up to this? Like, had you been a part of like orgies, swinging situations?
So I,
the listeners here, a lot of them are either virgins, have only slept with their wives.
Okay.
Or they've just recently left and they're wanting to explore doing swinger things and just they're wanting to explore their sexuality and stuff. So a lot of them experience, not saying a lot of you, but I've witnessed men get soft chubs mm-hmm. in situations like in swinger situations. Yeah. So it's not just a camera thing.
It's just pressure because like, most of the time...
this is relatable.
Yeah. So a little bit of my history. I was a very late bloomer and I lost my virginity at 20. And then I ended up marrying the second girl I ever slept with. So I didn't really start to have an active sex life outside of my marriage until we got a divorce, which is around like 8 years ago or so.
So you were in your 30s?
No. Yeah, right around 30, 31.
Wow.
So yeah, I really didn't have that, but I was writing about sex, and so I'd gone to swinger parties and I'd gone to fetish parties, not
you
as a
never
participant.
Participated?
No,
you just were there.
I was there, but I witnessed at a. This always happens at swinger parties, which you can relate to.
I've
is
been to some.
This really attractive dude. I think he owned a strip club or something, or was a manager, and he comes in with a stripper, and she's like super hot. They're the hottest couple in there, mm-hmm. and he's like talking, and he's like, "I'm gonna go fuck my girl, you guys." Blah blah blah. And then we go to the sex room, and there's
the
big
room.
Platform bed, and they're on there. And I swear to God, I walk in the door with the group that I was with, and the guy's like, "Guys, this never happens before. We're going to go get a shot of tequila." And the girl's like, "And then he's going to come back and fuck me." But apparently, like, he, it was the first time going there, he thought he was just going to rail her out in front of all these people, and all these older swingers just know, like, no, you're not.
And he was the owner?
Not of that club, oh. but of like another strip club or something.
Oh, like it was a strip club that he was coming from.
Yeah, exactly. Like he thought he was going to, you know, show people
I
how
hot
he was.
I think a lot of men think that maybe. They know how it is one-on-one, just
right,
them
and they have no experience
what it's
in
like being
group.
Watched.
Yeah, so I would say like invite some of your friends over, have them just sit there, and then say, okay, now watch me have sex with this woman.
And just get a varying ages.
Yeah. And have them be like maybe interested, maybe not interested, yeah. maybe on their phone. And also give yourself a time constraint. You have to do it in that moment.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Most people just never have that experience. It's almost like, I would say the nerves for me, I did an open mic comedy once and it was comparable to that level of anxiety.
Oh, man. Ugh.
So if you ever want to know what it's like, try do an open mic comedy set.
See, because like I've done this, like I've been into a voyeur room where it's like everyone's watching you.
Yeah.
And I think it's different. Like I kind of turn on like
yeah,
a performance.
Some people are performance
but
sexual.
If I went up to an open mic, I'd be like, do you watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
When Dee's like,
oh, she chokes.
I
yeah.
don't do that. Like, but I'm, well, I already have my jokes made for the AVN Awards if I ever presented. I already have my stand up. When I have to present it, I won't tell
but see,
the jokes because they're mine.
It's not about... It's stand-up comedy is so similar to porn for guys, at least, because stand-up, you can have the best jokes in the world, but it's all about being relaxed on stage and appearing like it's natural, like it's conversational.
It's like
so
a,
if you're up there and you're nervous and you tell the best joke, it's going to make people uncomfortable. And that, like...
That's
but you can
true.
Go up on stage and as long as you're relaxed... You tell stupid stuff. People will laugh because you have charisma.
Yep.
It's like making people feel comfortable.
Yeah. I used to have stage fright really bad.
Mm.
And I actually won an air guitar contest.
Really?
On a Carnival cruise.
Wow.
And they pushed me on stage. I was just walking with my friends and they were like, air guitar contest. Pushed me on stage and I won. Because I got the crowd going.
Yeah.
But I was so nervous. But I was like... I'm either going to stand here and look like an idiot and be nervous,
yeah.
or just I'm going to go all out, get the crowd up, because they're not noticing that I'm nervous because they're having a good time. And I won. Granted, my competitors were old. They were like 90.
This was a Carnival cruise after all.
It was. They were very intoxicated. And I was the Mormon girl air guitaring. Like,
were you also the prettiest one?
Yeah. I have a picture. I'll have to show you.
Yeah,
like,
we'll
it's actually a pretty good picture of me holding my little trophy. It was good.
Do you show that your trophy to people who come over? And this is my air guitar.
Oh,
if you ever win a porn award, you need to put it next to the air guitar trophy.
It's actually a Carnival cruise ship.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's even better.
So fancy.
But yeah, it's a pretty good. But yeah, it's you kind of have to be like a duck in water, right? It's mm-hmm. You're calm, but then your
right.
feet
yeah, you
her.
Don't see what's going on underneath. But... I mean, everybody has a different psychology. Some guys, like, feed on being watched. Like, you know, the same dudes who are flashers, that mentality of, like, they like people watching them. Mm-hmm. They get off on it. If you have that thing, then that is a benefit.
Yeah.
But so for me now, part of it is just, it's nice because I do know most people in porn, so at least it's not complete strangers. Although in some ways, maybe strangers would be easier.
I was going to say, isn't it worse when it's people you know?
That has been a thing. So I've worked both with performers that I know and performers I don't know. And sometimes with performers I know, it can go either way. One, if I don't really like them that much, then I'm more relaxed. But if I want to impress them, then I'm more nervous and anxious because I don't want that to be like our first sexual impression.
I had a guy I was doing... I don't even know if I can say what I was doing because I don't want to out him. But he felt the need in between scenes to continue to reassure me, I'm usually really good. Like, cause where the camera had to be placed. And he just, he's like, yeah, I'm usually really good. Like,
yeah.
Really good. And just, yeah, he wanted me to know.
But see, I would never tell somebody that because that's just so awful. I think you just own up to, like, I'm having a bad day, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. With the guy going back to the, and he's like, this never happens. I remember in one of my scenes, I'd been waiting to say this line, but I struggled a little bit, so I had to go to another room, get hard, and then I came and finished the scene. But after the scene we were talking about, I was like, I just want you to know that this has happened before.
You went back there and said that? That's hilarious. And it's so true. Good way to be honest.
Well, so that I think is my way of disarming people and also my way. I always do better as an underdog. I think about this when I was like in wrestling. When I was expected to lose, I would perform so much better. But when I was expected to win, I would not do as well. And it was because of the pressure.
Yeah.
So when I go in and I tell somebody, like, I have a very average dick, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. That's my way of, like, taking the pressure off of me and just being... I'm
trying to find this dang picture.
It's okay. It's you can impress me later.
I'll steal one of your trophies and replace it with the Cardinal Cruise ship. I'm not kidding. It'll be like Carnival Freedom.
Air guitar.
2014. Wow. It won't even say air guitar. Like, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but it doesn't even reference what I did to win it. So I'll have it in my nursing home room one day and I'll just be too senile to even tell the story.
This story, there's a lot of holes in it.
I'm already losing my mind. So like credibility. We're fucked.
You're like bragging about this award, which I don't even know that you won it at this point.
You don't even know if I've ever been on a cruise ship.
Right. You may have never left. I mean, truly,
you don't know. You don't even know if I've seen water.
No.
Do I even know what water is?
We don't. This is a mystery.
Oh, okay. I'm the high one.
You're the captain. Like, you're the captain of this high ship.
Now we're going into what water is. So, yeah, you just kind of have to, like, keep calm and stuff. So, okay. I do want you to give advice to the male listeners on a couple of things, but I also want to talk a little bit more about you getting into this industry in your first scene, like how you felt that day.
Mm-hmm.
You were already heading that direction.
Yeah.
So let's stick with that.
Okay.
Because you said you woke up super early.
I woke up at 4 a.m. and worked out. And then so I don't have OCD, but I understand people with OCD. And for me, before a scene, I do the same thing. I have my rituals, which is I clean. We shoot those scenes. We were shooting at my house at the time. And so I would clean obsessively. And what it was is that I couldn't necessarily control my dick, but I could control everything else. And so I could control how clean my house is, how well I smell, my hygiene. So I was doing all the things that I could do to prepare in an effort to take my mind off of worrying about the things that I couldn't control. So it's like that prayer, whatever it is, the strength, the whatever, accept the things.
Accept the thing in the moment.
Change the things I can change, or whatever it is.
I don't know. There's so many of those fucking things.
But so my first scene was actually with Kenna James, who I know and who She's very good at
that
making...
That was your first scene?
Yeah.
She's... I thought, not to say there is a low bar.
Yeah.
But I thought they started, like to make you comfortable.
Not Kenna James.
I think Kenna James is, like... Intimidating? Mic drop, like...
Was she pretty new, Kenna or... a while.
Okay.
And she has this way of making people feel very comfortable and making people... She likes to be liked.
It's a gift, though.
Yeah. But it's genuine, too. It's not like it's a show. Like, she genuinely just likes people to like her. So that's kind of why I picked her, because it wouldn't... And she also has a husband.
Oh, you were able to pick her.
The first few. I kind of had names, and I was like, this one.
They want the stock to get a boner.
Yeah. But the way... that happened was, it was kind of free form, and we were just making out for pictures, and then my dick was starting to get hard, and I was like, it's happening. Let's go. So we just started rolling, and that's...
You're like,
yeah,
turn it on, guys.
That's kind of one of the things about this industry, is you really figure out like how your dick works and all those things. But so some guys like to get hard before they're seen, and so they're like have a half chub. For whatever reason, that does not work for me. Like,
it works for Donnie Sins.
It works for some people. It doesn't work for me. Like, so I go in without stoking my dick first, because I want those first feelings to happen in this moment in the scene, and then hopefully it launches. And once I have a boner, I don't worry. My stress goes down, and I can do a pretty good scene. It's just that fear of the initial takeoff and launch.
My favorite thing is to see people like Donnie Sins behind the scenes stuff, because I've got a video of him, and he's off talking sports on the arm of a sofa.
Jacking off.
In the distance, just jacking off, talking to the camera guy.
Yeah.
About games. And we weren't going to be filming for like 20 minutes. And then now, it's like just this past week, somebody posted a video with him, and he's sure enough, like, you could just see him under his shorts. He's just, I think that man is always edging.
Hey, some guys, I mean...
Well, he said that's how you do it.
Yeah.
You just have to constantly edge.
Well, everybody's different. And granted, I'm still new in this. But for whatever reason, sometimes when I've struggled in the beginning, I've had, like, a boner to begin with. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, put your boner away. We need to shoot some other stuff. And then my boner goes down. And then for whatever reason, that makes me nervous.
Aww.
That it went down, even because we're not doing sexy stuff. Yeah. So I don't know, for whatever reason right now, it just helps if I wait until, unless we're doing, if I'm shooting like POV content, then I'll just get hard, and then we just start with the blowjob, and those are the easiest for me to shoot.
That's crazy. Do you feel like your scene partners, your female talent, they feel weird about you not starting with the boner, or do they not know? Do you usually
try to tell them
attention?
No, so it is sort of this weird thing, because in a way, a lot of times women tell guys like we're the ones so obsessed with our dicks and our boners and stuff. But also in porn, I feel like a lot of women are like trained to think like, oh, if he doesn't have a boner right away, there's something wrong.
The thing is that's just natural sex, though. It doesn't always start with a boner. Like, especially in long-term relationships. Like, you gotta do what you need to do in order to start things.
So for me, like, especially too in the industry, like, if you see dicks that are coming out just, like, rock hard, sometimes they inject Caverject into their dick. Or
how
just
often is that happening, though?
A lot more than you think.
Really? That's... I might quote this. You just exposed Mickey. But you would say Balesa, though, like, they really like how you start things and
honestly, the owners, I had, I think, the first scene it went off, he was like, I'm almost upset that it went off too well.
Yeah.
He wanted me more to struggle. And then my second scene, I struggled in. And what was funny is I had a boner right before we started, and the same thing happened. Like, I was completely comfortable and calm and having fun, and I had the confidence from the first scene. And then as soon as, like, it started action, I just felt this chill run through me. And then I just felt my dick, like, start to fade. And then you just get in this headspace. But...
Do they keep some of that stuff
yeah,
in?
No,
because I watched
thing.
One of your things, and you had toys that you started using on her.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so cool. Like, I wasn't looking at your dick like, oh, it's right. soft now. Like, oh, he's utilizing other things. But in a way, I think that that is just such a appropriate thing to have in porn right now, mm-hmm. is to show, like, you're not the main event here.
Right.
Like, your yeah. dick is not, like, it doesn't, sorry, sex does not begin with an erection and end with your ejaculation.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
there has to be her.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, I love when they do that. And now I'm wondering, like, maybe you went soft and that's when you grabbed a toy.
No. So, funny enough, so she, we were talking about before the scene, and that particular performer, I know she has a hard time coming in general.
Mm-hmm.
And, but when she does come, it's usually with toys. And I know it's very, very rare for her to come in an actual scene. So I was like, I know you have a lot of toys. Just bring all your toys, because... Mm-hmm. we'll just use them, because I'm not threatened by using toys during sex. And with her, I remember we were starting the scene and I had a boner, and then we'd forgotten to check each other's tests, so we stopped, checked tests, and then...
And that's after, STD
that's,
test,
yes.
by the way.
Then my boner went down, but she had brought all these toys and we were going to use them anyhow, so we started making out and I just started pulling out the toys and using them. But the thing... What's sad for me... What's hard about it is, like, I always want to do foreplay on the woman first, but I'm so paranoid about my dick faltering as I'm going down on them that I'm so, like, eager to start fucking. So what I'll usually do is, like, then go back around and go down on them after we've been fucking for a little bit. I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, it's fine now. So for her, I was really more focused on going down on her and, like, using the toys on her. So then by the time it was time for her to suck my dick, mm-hmm. I had no boner at all.
Oh.
Because I had been in my head so much about...
Did they catch that?
I think they showed it a little bit. I just had to... With her, it wasn't that bad. I just needed to go to the other room, take a second. I got hard and came back, and
yeah.
it was fine.
It's a lot
for
a man. And I like that you guys considered her orgasm, though.
Yeah, I mean...
Because Bless is all about real
right,
female orgasm.
Right, and we don't want...
That's what they
fake.
Want.
And we want... I really like it when my scene partner tells me what they want during the scene. But there's also a few scenes where I would come and then I would go down on them afterwards because I didn't want it to focus on, like, it ends when I come.
Right, see?
So, but yeah, I tell all of the performers I work with to bring toys. Some do, some don't.
Yeah. I feel like Bless is doing a really good job at this. Mm-hmm. And I think other companies are also taking note.
Yeah,
it's a little
just,
slow, but it's getting there.
I think it's just the market. If you're selling to guys, they want to see, like, hardcore pounding and penetration, and unfortunately toys block the view of the mm-hmm. penetration.
Right.
But if you're selling to women don't care as much about the visual as the story and the context
yes.
and all of the other things. So it just really depends on your market. And that's why I think women have had so much problem with porn, because it's meant for the male gaze. So Bless, we're trying to do more wide shots where you see the connection, you see the kissing, and it's not as much about, you're not trying to open up so you can see the penetration. You allow for the partners to be intimate and really in share space with each other.
And now opening up to show the penetration, that's usually where those big penises come in.
Yeah,
hand.
Exactly.
That's why a lot of them are casted.
Because it helps, it's easier to shoot a sex scene with a big dick because you can see everything. Whereas if you have an average size dick, you're going to have to bend very, very far, especially if the person has, like, a big ass or whatever,
mm-hmm.
to see anything.
It's sad for those couples who want to start OnlyFans and then they're like, why doesn't it look the same as the ones on
yeah.
TV?
Yeah.
Like, well, you got boyfriend dick.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with it. But that's really what the big penis is for. It's for visual...
That filming. And
you said something about men liking big
yeah,
dicks.
Yeah, big dick, I think, was in one book I read, one of the top five things that straight men search for is big dick. It's more for guys than for women.
Why do you think that is? Is it to see the woman react? Do you think that they're so... Now here's... I'm going to go in a mm-hmm. dark place.
Let's go there.
Do you think it is because men think that their average size dick truly cannot affect
Sounds
a woman
funny.
So they think that they have to go bigger, like they think mm-hmm. the only way this woman's going to genuinely react
is
I want a real
dick.
reaction, it has to be with a huge dick.
I think the reason for big dicks, it's very different depending on who you are. Mm-hmm. There are certain guys who want women to be like kind of in pain, and maybe they like the idea of it mm-hmm. almost like hurting the girl.
Yeah.
Some guys think that a big dick is the only thing that's going to satisfy someone, and some women really genuinely just prefer giant dicks. And the reason sort of for that, the theory behind it, is that if you have a really small clit that is far from the vaginal opening, a bigger dick is going to hit the clit more. But if you have a bigger clit, you don't necessarily need a huge dick to stimulate the clit from just penetration.
I have that's these Mayan statues that I collected when I was in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And I thought they were spears, but I watched this documentary and it turns out it's actually penises and they're big penises that they're holding on to.
Interesting.
Like they're obsessed. Like,
yeah, guys are obsessed with dicks.
It goes as far back as
well. I collect ruins. Dick artifacts. You can see one over there, that dick stone.
Oh yeah, I do see that little wooden one.
Anytime somebody travels to a different country, I'm always like, bring me back like a folk art dick. And if you go to like Italy and Pompeii, they had used dicks everywhere. They love, and it's dudes. The guys love dicks. It's a symbol of fertility. I also think one of my theories is that when you're a boy, when you're growing up, the only real difference you see between women and between girls and boys is that boys have a dick. And so I think you build masculinity around the dick. Like, that's what masculinity is. Mm-hmm. So the bigger the dick, the more masculine the person.
Yeah.
It's, I think, kind of the theory behind it. But yeah.
It's interesting. I have been to Pompeii. I took pictures in that little brothel room.
Yeah, the brothel. Yeah,
that's cool. It's so weird. And that's the thing. Like, I think we're getting better as a country. Europe is definitely a little more open to sex, for sure. But I think America's getting a little better. It's just interesting when you see all these American tourists, and that's the one thing they're looking for on the map, right, is the brothel. But in the United States, we have brothels in, Vegas. Yeah, and they want to shut these places down.
Right.
Yet they're so fascinated, they're going to Pompeii and trying to find it. Like, yeah.
I mean, of course, you also know that Utah is one of the biggest consumers of porn.
Oh, yeah.
It's whatever is, like, restricted is the thing that becomes taboo.
Yep. And you know what? It's also illegal to film porn in Utah.
In Utah.
That's why I travel. Hello. It's so dumb. So that first scene was shot with Kenna James. Mm-hmm. It was good. We don't need to go into detail, but I definitely want to go and watch that now. I did not know she was your first scene.
I don't know that it was good in this. Like, I had a boner the whole time, obviously. But I wasn't like...
Everyone probably did.
She is very good at making you think that she likes you, and I kind of...
I feel like she does like people.
Yeah, though. She genuinely does like people, and... Yeah. That helps for me. I don't necessarily need that all the time.
Very flirty.
Yes, like. She's very flirty. When I do struggle, sometimes it's if I get a sense that they don't really want to be there. I remember this one time, I won't say who it was, but as this performer, we had kind of a connection. But when she went to grab my dick wasn't hard. And then she grabbed it just like a loose... Like, she was just stroking it for the camera, but it was almost like she was intentionally not touching it. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Halo.
It would be almost like I was pretending to go down on her and, like, not licking her pussy, just, like, air licking it. And that just killed everyone. I was like, oh, fuck, this is not going anywhere.
Oh, yeah, that's hard. Not really.
But there are times, like, if... not to say, like, I don't need the person to be in love with me, but it takes pressure off if I'm not... I did a scene with Brandy Love that hasn't been released yet.
Oh, wow.
And
that's like MILF.
Yeah, she's
royalty.
MILF
she's queen. In the MILF royalty.
And my brain is weird because I get anxious about certain people and not about other people. And with her, it was kind of like they're expecting me to fail. Like, she's not, I'm not worried about her falling in love with, like, with other people, they were my friends, and I was going to see them all the time. And, like, potentially, it would be cool if the scene went well and they'd want to shoot content later. But even if the scene went well with Brandy, which it did go well, like, I knew she wasn't going to slide in my DMs and be like, hey, do you want to shoot some content? Like, hey, we had a connection. It was almost less pressure in a way.
I have her pictures now because I had to get a refresher. Yep, that's her. And she's just...
Yeah, just MILF-tastic.
Yep, she's just there. That's her. Wow. She's How old is she? She's got to be in her
She's 40s, at least. I don't...
Yeah. I don't like to...
I don't want to dox her. You know, she's in her 40s.
Honestly, I'm kind of funny with age. I posted something, because when I tell people I'm in my 30s, they act shocked. Like, I'm supposed to be in my 20s. It's
because people in their 30s pretend they're in their 20s, and so everybody thinks... It's so silly.
It's not even just she's 49, sorry. Mm. But you have it. It's there on the internet. But it's just like, I don't know. Part of me just kind of wants to be like, oh, yeah, I'm in my 30s. Oh, great. Because I was like dreading getting into my 30s because of how...
30s are great.
It's where I hit my sexual prime. Like,
for me, like 40, this is one of the best years of my life.
Well, I interviewed a woman in Nashville on this podcast, and she is in her 40s. And I asked her, I said, and she's got an OnlyFans. She's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. She's not in the industry. She's just a swinger who also has an OnlyFans. She's beautiful. But I asked her, I said, what would you say has been your favorite age, like, range? And she said her 40s.
Yeah. I think it just depends on you and what you're going through in your life. And your, like I said, I was a late bloomer, so it's taken me a long time to kind of get to this comfortable space.
I feel like I wasn't super, I was mature, but I wasn't mature enough to enjoy things in my 20s.
Yeah.
I was very jealous. Like,
You
know, you're just kind of, you're overreading things and you're overreading people and... you're super critical of yourself, and now I'm just like, oh, you're losing elasticity in my ear now. Like, cool. One more thing to get Botox on. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's so weird. But yeah, I actually like my 30s.
No, 30s are great. I had a lot of fun in my 30s, and I'm having a lot of fun in my 40s. So.
Sounds like that's where the fun started. It was in your 30s.
Well, I've always had a lot of fun, but...
But sexual fun.
Yeah, adventurous stuff definitely started in my 30s.
Well, and now I feel like you're actually having fun in the industry.
Yes.
Like, now you can relax. Now you're getting invited to pool parties. More than you can handle.
Yeah, two pool parties on this Sunday.
Just tomorrow or
in fact,
Sunday?
You and I went to two pool parties.
Wait, that's where you were at a pool party, and then we went to another pool party. Mm-hmm. So you're always going to pool parties.
Oh, yeah.
So now you're just like... doggy paddling through and your little
tropical swimsuits. Very, very weird. It's very strange because I feel like I don't know. I don't know what changed other than the fact that I'm publicly having sex with people but I've been getting hit up. In fact, today this girl who has, you know, like 200,000 followers on Twitter, gorgeous girl, hit me up and was like, hey, are you shooting? I would love to shoot with you. And I would have never thought to reach out to her. And she's like, I've always wanted to have sex with you. And I'm like, I don't even think I've met this woman.
Oh my gosh. See, and I get those messages, but it's usually from my Mormon bishops.
Wow.
They're like, I've always wanted to have sex with you.
Yeah, I mean, also as a guy, there's probably more women I could have sex with, but I don't want to be that dude that's just sliding into everybody's DMs.
This mass messaging until, like, I don't know. Yeah. I've kind of learned not to just, I'm not fucking guys like that right now.
I think, too, with me, though, I don't need to fuck everybody. Like, you and I, like, I don't... We hung out. I'm not like, hey, can we also shoot content?
The thing. That's what I don't like.
Right.
To be completely honest, I see through it now where it's like, oh, we should get together and make content.
Yeah.
Just say you want to have sex.
Right.
I know it's a benefit for the women.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we enjoy sex, too. But, like, we know, okay, cool, like, I'm going to get some really awesome hot content for my page.
Right.
And these guys know that. And you can tell if the guy truly likes you or not, because there's two ways they'll want to work with you. If they like you, it's called trade content.
Mm-hmm.
If it's them kind of going out of their way, they're like, my daily rate's $1,000. And I've seen that, not with me, but I've heard of people saying this, and it's like, you shouldn't be paying a man to make content with you. If you are, that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's, if a guy says that, he just doesn't want to work with
exactly
you.
It's work for him. He probably just doesn't want to. But the thing is, like, I just wish people were more honest and just say, hey, we just want to have sex. Like, stop labeling it content.
Right.
It's just weird. Does that make sense?
I get it. I think... with content thing, though, it's almost like a safe way of having, I don't even want to call it a first date, but like an encounter with somebody without any strings attached. So it's like, maybe I don't know you that well. I want to get to know you more. And maybe there's like a potential spark there. But if we shoot content, it's like we can kind of test it out. And if it doesn't go well, there's no pressure to be like...
Can you imagine taking a person in this day and age 10 years ago when hashtag Me Too was happening?
Yeah.
And a man with a camera went to a model and said, hey, I'd love to help you shoot content.
Right.
It's just, it's so, I think somebody had posted something, it was a comedian, and he said, we've really come far from hashtag Me Too. Like, it's, yeah. But I think it's empowering. I think right now we're going through almost like a sexual awakening.
Yeah.
You know, we're opening up a little bit more, but there's always a shoe that drops.
Yeah.
There's going to be a problem at some, and I already see the problem, and I won't say it, but there's just a lot of amateurs on OnlyFans.
Right. Oh, 100%.
And the industry had to get their ass kicked to mm-hmm. get to where they're at now.
And it's true. Like, there was somebody wanted to shoot with me, and like, her test hadn't come back yet. And I was like, I'm sorry, I don't want to shoot. And there's a lot of people who are not used to, that's the other thing about OnlyFans is they're not, yeah, a lot are not. And they're just not, people with OnlyFans are not used to being on set. So there's certain protocol and things that we do on set that is like standardized. But with OnlyFans people, they're used to doing it their way, which could be completely crazy and insane and weird mm-hmm. as shit. And they don't even know it because.
Yeah. Or you might have that girl who has been going solo in her room and she's finally realizing, oh, well, it would be hot if I fucked a guy.
Right.
And she finally takes up some random dude
yeah.
that she kind of knows offline. Mm-hmm. That's what happened to me. That's what got me into the industry, because I was just an OnlyFans girl.
Yeah.
And I learned, I was like, the industry feels safer.
Oh, 100% than just OnlyFans people? 100%. Because also, I guess there's almost this fear, but like with guys, because you were even asking me, hey, I'm going to work with this guy. I know people who've worked with him. I know stories about him, or I've worked with him personally. Like, I can tell you what that guy is like.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like just social validation, really. It's like, you know what to expect with
yeah.
that person. Whereas these other random dudes, you never know what they're going
to
be like.
Well, not to like discount their, like, the thing about it is girls are taking up these offers,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I've said to guys, if you want to get into any form of this industry, even if it's with OnlyFans, you need to start adopting industry standards.
Yeah.
Like, really look into the industry standards. And I think people need to start saving their OnlyFans income, because OnlyFans might end up getting shut down.
Oh, 100%.
There's just 100%. Too much that they cannot, like, the industry had to, like, go through learning lessons.
Yeah.
People were getting canceled, especially mm-hmm. during the Me Too movement. And if the thing that happened to me happens, like, in, like, other ways to other women, and
mm-hmm.
it's just, it's scary.
Yeah, it is. It's very scary.
So... But OnlyFans is great. Like, I actually do like it, because now that I'm in the industry, I can work with people who I know are good.
Right.
Like, yeah, like, let's film some fun stuff and put it up. And you know, like, okay, Sarah's put this up here. She had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff I made with that guy had never hit my page.
Yeah.
And I promoted it leading up to it. And
yeah.
But that's the thing. It's like, we can control it. And I don't know. It's just, it's fun. I think if guys want to get into the industry, maybe OnlyFans is the way to start, but even then it's hard. Like,
well, yeah,
for a man.
I think the easiest way is if you have a female partner who is also doing OnlyFans, and you shoot a lot of content with her, and
together.
Then you maybe open it up. You film her having sex with a guy. Maybe she films you having sex with a girl. So it's like, you create this safe space. And basically, it's just kind of a reputation thing. The more people you work with, it kind of... You build a reputation, and other people can check you out and see that you've shot with these other people.
It's like your resume.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So even if you're just starting out doing solo stuff, like, that's better than nothing. And the fact that you're a professional, they want to see that you're a professional, not just some guy who thinks he knows what he's doing, but
you're
has no idea.
Just sending off dick pics saying,
right,
I'd love to
right.
help you with content. I don't know. And then that's when I'm like, just say you want to fuck me. It's okay. yeah. I mean, this has been kind of like, what, an hour now?
Oh, Jesus.
I do want, just if you had some advice for the male listeners, because I know my DMs are full of guys asking how to get into the industry. Okay. And my guys are kind of genuine. Like, they've been sexually repressed their whole lives. And to them, they also want to explore their sexuality in a controlled environment.
Right.
So for those who are genuinely coming in with good intentions, what would you say to those people? And then what would you say to the guys who are coming in and they're just like, look at how big my dick is, I've got this, like...
I don't think there's anything you can say to a guy who's super cocky, because they're not going to listen to you.
Would it be the same advice, though, you would give to both of them?
I would say for the cocky guys, you need to be humble or humility will be visited upon you.
You also have to respect women.
Yes. And if you don't... So there are guys in this industry who have a huge dick, who can get hard on command, who can pop on command, who would be great performers, but they're dicks. They're overly cocky. Nobody wants to work with them. So they started off strong because, okay, yeah, he can do a scene, and they're on their best behavior, but then they become creeps. They mistreat women behind the scenes, or just are assholes on set. Nobody hires them. Nobody wants to work with them
anymore. Because the girls are just throwing them on the no list.
Right, exactly. So that's what I would say to those guys, is just realize you got to go through a little bit of an ego death. Like, you're not always going to be just because you have a big dick, like, that is not enough. A big dick is not enough.
With that said, I will say I've heard wonderful things about Dredd.
Oh, yeah, he's a lovely guy. And I think part of that...
He's got the biggest dick in the industry, and he's the gentlest. Yeah. Like,
he has to be.
Offset and...
Because it's almost like, if you've ever met somebody who's really strong and muscular, they have to learn to be gentle because people are so terrified. And
and
women, he's the same way. Like, he has to learn how to, because he couldn't have fucked anybody with that thing if he wasn't like...
How big is it?
It's like an arm. I've never seen it in person. But
me neither, but I'm sure I will at some point. Yeah, maybe we'll see.
But no,
I don't know.
And that's why he is who he is. Yeah. It's because he is nice.
And his name is so Dredd.
Dredd.
Yeah.
But then, for regular guys...
Like you.
I mean, for me, everybody has to find their own pathway, but there's different ways you can go. One, again, finding a female partner. It doesn't have to be your partner, but a female partner who is interested in doing more OnlyFans and maybe shooting with her, starting to build some content, some practice doing it, getting your stuff out there. If you don't have that, I mean, you could start your own OnlyFans, start doing solo content. And then once you have enough of that, then you could reach out to some people and they might be interested.
Even posting on Pornhub.
Yeah. And just, you have to have some sort of credibility. So you show that you're serious about it. You show that, one, okay, I'm willing to show my face. This is my dick. I can get hard. I can do all these things. But also, there's so many jobs in porn, and you don't have to be a genius to do those. You just have to not be creepy, and you have to be reliable. So for me, I got into porn, like I said, I get my foot in or my dick in, and then...
You were cleaning.
Yeah.
You were cleaning bodily fluids.
I was cleaning bodily fluids off places.
You were throwing lube to people.
I saw where that could lead. I saw the potential of... I just knew I needed to get my foot in the door, and I knew my capabilities once I did.
Yeah. And the thing is, too, is I think people think the best position in the adult industry is the performer.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, they never want to perform.
Right.
You might think, like, I love porn so much, I should get in as a performer. You might find that you actually like being behind the camera.
Yeah.
Or writing. Or you could be doing this and realize, I don't like it.
Yeah.
But you started somewhere that you did like, you know, so you could always go back. So I wouldn't always say, like, have your eye on the performer. Like,
yeah, no, I mean, when I say the direction I was going, I meant more like I wanted to write scripts, and getting my foot in the door cleaning was kind of like with the paper. I started working as a street teamer because it gave me the opportunity to write for them. Mm-hmm. And then look what that opened up. And then with porn, I started working as a production assistant because I wanted to write, and I knew that I would, and I knew that I would excel. And that led to, you know, winning writing awards for porn, and led to directing and producing and doing all of these other things.
You kind of wear all kinds of hats.
Yeah, I've done pretty much everything. The only thing I really haven't done is be an agent, but I don't think I would want to be an agent.
Yeah. It's kind of cutthroat.
Yeah.
I feel like the good ones are coming up and now you're competing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, it's really interesting. Yeah, I would say you got to start somewhere. And I feel like for men, it's definitely doing some of the dirty work.
Yeah. Don't have an ego, I think, is my big lesson. Kill your ego and take your pride out of it. And respect
for the industry, too. Like, writing about the industry and being around people and just, like, showing that you have respect and you see it as its art form.
Yeah.
And stuff. It made them approach you.
Correct.
Whereas if you're just that guy who it just is trying to get girls' phone numbers at events.
Right. And you are, nobody's going to hire you if you're... Yeah. If you lead with your dick, if you lead with, like, I mean, people are attracted to porn because it's, like, it's exciting and we want to be around this energy, but if your sole goal is to get laid, you will not get hired.
No.
I think this performer, Charles Dara, said it best, which is that you, as a guy, you have to prove that you can be trusted with money and with women in this industry. And once you prove those two things, mm-hmm. then you're gold.
Yep. So. And I think the women part was added recently. I don't know. It's definitely changed, but okay. There's the advice. Humble your damn selves and clean some toilets.
Humble yourself and be a janitor.
Yeah, seriously though. You gotta like get in somehow.
I mean, look at Matt Damon. You know, I started off at a janitor at Harvard. Yeah. And then Goodwill Hunting.
Just a movie. Yeah. I was gonna say, well, for women it's not that easy either. Like, honestly, I was at the Brazzers party and I'm like, why am I here? Like, why am I here? Of all the OnlyFans people.
It's because you couldn't see your ass at the party.
Probably.
Yeah. If you saw your ass, you'd be like, okay, I know why she's
yeah,
here.
Yeah, it's got to be my ass.
I saw you. I was like, yeah, she belongs here.
Well, no, at the Brazzers event, though. Oh, Brazzers. I was like, Angela White was there. Like, I had imposter syndrome at that party. I was like, why am I at this party right now with all of these people?
The thing about porn for women is it's very easy for a woman to get into porn. It's not necessarily easy to make a career out of it. But the people who end up becoming stars, some just have that it factor. But Angela White, what I respect most about her is she didn't start out as like the Angela White. Like mm-hmm.
she was a regular porn. She just recently became a Brazzers contract star.
But I mean, before that, she was in Australia, then she moved to the U.S. and... things kind of took off, but it's very calculated and strategic. It's, which is what I respect about it. It's not an accident who she mm-hmm. is.
Yeah.
And a lot of the biggest career people, a lot of times they have a support system behind them. In fact, almost 100% of the time they have a huge support system behind them. But these are not accidents. Like Cherie DeVille, it's not an accident mm-hmm. that she's as big as she is. It's not, she just happens to be gorgeous.
Yeah.
You know, and also, if you look at like the top porn people, they're usually not super young, partially because they've had to build this brand.
Ava Adams.
Yeah. It's something that comes with time. It's not just luck.
Yeah.
Luck is involved and beauty and all those things are involved, but you can shift those things and work ethic and all those things are huge, huge factors.
So crazy. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck am I doing? And I even looked at Hime. And I looked at her, and she's with her boyfriend, Kyle Mason. And I looked at both of them, and mind you, I've already fucked Kyle Mason on mm-hmm. set. Like, it's kind of funny how we're all just friends to the civilians. They're like, what? But I looked at them, and I said, I bet you guys have fucked everybody in this room. Mm-hmm. And they were looking around, and they're like, yep, pretty much. And that's the thing, everyone's just chilling and hanging out. And I'm like, I feel like I've only fucked you and Isaiah. Like, mm-hmm. I felt like a virgin, but I'm not. Does that even make sense?
Yeah, no, that
like,
makes sense.
I felt like an imposter being in that room. Like, what? Everyone's fucked everybody, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I don't know how I got here.
The thing, too, about porn is that there's so many different avenues, and if you can't just take somebody else's blueprint for yourself.
Yeah.
You have to find your own pathway. Like, mine is a perfect example, is like, I didn't follow, like, a specific pathway. I just kind of found this niche, which is like being anxious and you know, being like making a joke of the fact that I'm a cuckold, but the whole reason people like or trust me in this industry is because I don't take myself too seriously and like make fun of myself all the time. I'm not like
make fun of myself all the time.
So, but there are people, female performers, that are huge. It's just you find your niche, you find what works for you, and you you do that thing.
I feel like they're still trying to figure that out with me. I don't think they figured it out.
I don't think you figured it out.
Maybe I haven't, because I did get casted as a stepmom mm-hmm. with my stepdaughter, and I feel like her and I were the same age.
But see, I think you're thinking about this too narrowly. You're thinking about this in terms of like, am I a MILF? Am I? I think you need to think about it in terms of like, you could be like a TikTok famous person who also does OnlyFans, but makes more on your OnlyFans because you have, you know what I mean? So it's not like you're kind of just throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what's starting to stick, where you're going to get momentum. But there are people who, you know, maybe they do stand-up comedy and they also have an OnlyFans and they do some porn.
Right.
But they don't need to do, their main income isn't from shooting porn.
Yeah. It's just.
Right. So, and there's a lot of female performers who make so much on OnlyFans that they really only do scenes as advertising.
Yeah. I do know, I was told that I'm being pitched as a super MILF right now, is what they're trying to do. And I'm like, okay, cool. So now I'm like trying to channel my...
Your super MILFdom?
My inner super MILFdom. But in my world, technically I am an old maid in the Mormon world, so... It makes sense.
You
can
be somebody's stepmom. You don't have to be old to be somebody's stepmom.
Yeah, I just married a really rich... Older,
rich dude, yeah. I can see that for you.
Yeah. Okay, I did want to show you Mormon garments real quick. Because I want to get your reaction. Do you want to hold my underwear?
Sure, I'd love
to
hold your underwear.
It's the sexiest thing you'll ever... So there's two different types. This one is going to be a cotton one. This is my Mormon underwear top that I had to wear. The listeners know exactly what I'm talking about. It's got the cap sleeves. It's got a little section for the boobs.
This feels roomy.
This is the most...
revealing one?
Like, no, this is... Like, no one's supposed to see you in this but your husband.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Well, I guess women in locker rooms and stuff. But no other man is supposed to see a woman...
I'm getting so aroused right
now. Are you really? You know what's funny, though? Is that is actually, like, my biggest request.
Oh, I bet. I bet, yeah.
Yeah, that calendar I gave you,
well,
I think
see, that's what
November.
I'm saying about your niche is, like, you
this
played
would
your strengths.
Get me in trouble.
Have you ever shot a scene in that?
Not professionally, but I've done lots of content.
Okay, okay.
Okay, so these are the sexy ones. I feel like I gotta turn these inside out. These are the silky ones.
Ooh, these are nice. You know,
so, these are the most requested pair.
Oh, these are really nice.
Yeah, and you look at the symbols. There's like symbols on them. It's not just underwear. It's like cult stuff.
Oh, wow.
Joseph Smith actually stole it from the Freemasons. A lot of the rituals are very similar, but there's like one above the knee. It's just a lot, like.
So I have this weird, I don't want to say weird, but there's something about when I'm hanging out with a girl and she's dressed like for the night and we're right about to leave, mm-hmm. I get turned on. And I think part of it is being relaxed at the excitement of, these are really nice and smooth.
Aren't they nice? You should wear them. They have, they do have male version, but not like this. This is, yeah, for the women.
But
you have a pee hole at your bottom.
Oh, sexy.
Like a little closet to crawl out of.
But yeah, there's something about, I don't know, like when we're dressed to leave, it's just like you're dressed up and you look good and it just makes me want to rip your clothes off.
Yeah.
But also, growing up, I only watched PG-13 movies, and PG-13 movies, the way you show like sexiness is mm-hmm. like the girlfriend wearing the guy's shirt and
yes.
like just panties. So that look mm-hmm. of like comfy clothes or like
yeah.
pajamas and like the body hinting
something
underneath
baggy.
Oh, it does it for me.
Well, there is this, like...
So that's what these kind of remind me of, like...
There's these thirst trap videos, I'm sure you've seen them, where the girl has, like, a loose...
Yeah, she pulls
it. A big loose t-shirt, and then boom, and then she's just, like, in a tight mm-hmm. piece. Yeah, it's definitely something, but I have not figured this out, because I think these are so
ugly.
So ugly.
I don't know, I'd have to see them on.
I have tons of pictures. And I've got TikTok videos of me, you know. Getting mass reported by active Mormons who are offended that I'm even showing them.
Damn, those active Mormons.
Active
it's
Mormons.
It's like active shooters.
Yeah, active shooters. Active swingers. Active Mormon swingers. I'm not kidding. I've been issued death threats from these people because I was advertising a swinger club, which I won't say the name of. Everybody knows that drama, but except for you. But yeah, they were like sending me messages because they were like going to the swinger club as Mormon, like active Mormon couples. Uh-huh. And this was their thing. Like they did not want everyone to know because then they would find out, oh, my bishop's a swinger or just breaking the law of chastity. Anyway, well, this has been fun. We will end on just rapid fire questions real quick. Because I do like to do that.
I feel like I'm bad at rapid fire, but I'll try my best.
Yeah, just
don't, I try to over-explain.
Just don't. No, don't. That's the problem.
You don't know. That's how I am.
But people want to over-explain.
That's how I am. Okay. I can't do simple questions.
Well, this one's not simple. Would you rather find your dream job or win the lottery?
I guess it depends on how big the lottery is, but probably dream job.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like you could win the lottery and then create your dream job.
It just depends how big the lottery is.
That's true. It could be like something you split between four people. The Powerball.
Yeah.
We play the Powerball. I can't remember. Oh, that kid's so sweet. Okay. Physical strength or mental strength?
Mental strength.
Really? You could be in a coma and just completely paralyzed, but as long as that brain's
working. I feel like you're just trying to contradict whatever I say, no matter what I pick.
Okay, fine, whatever. Do you prefer social time or alone time?
Ooh, I prefer them both equally in the appropriate time.
Would you say you're more, like, which would you lean more on, extrovert or introvert?
I am both. I'm an introverted extrovert. See, I cannot both.
Isn't that weird? Because I used to say that, and then there are some times where I'm like, I'm an extroverted introvert, and it like alternates.
Yeah.
It just depends. I feel like I'm more of an extrovert though. Street smarts or book smarts? I don't know if this is in regards to you or people you like to surround yourself with.
I feel like both, but I'm not. I grew up in kind of a rough neighborhood, and I'm not an idiot. But I don't know. I also listen to a lot of books and read a lot of books, but I don't know. Maybe both. I'd like to think both, but maybe not. That might be a question.
Street smarts.
Yeah.
What's a book going to do? Are you going to like share quotes of Rich Dad in a street fight?
Yeah.
You're in the rat race.
I've dated both. I'm trying to think which one I'm better
with. I'm thinking of like survival mode.
Oh.
If there was like a zombie apocalypse.
Well, how often is there a zombie
apocalypse?
But if you
were reading survivalist books.
Yeah, I've read a lot of survivalist books.
We'll just skip that one. Yeah. I don't know.
See, I told you I was bad at these.
No, I can't even answer it. Okay, this one I know you can answer. Do you have your own Netflix account or do you use somebody else's?
You know what is so sad? Is there was a time where I had none of my own accounts and girls would come over and they'd be like, what do you have? I'm like, I don't know. And so they would log into theirs. So I was constantly on. I never bought my own.
Oh, no. And this was like,
I felt bad because at some point I'd gone through a breakup and I was using her account.
It notifies her. Yeah. Like, there's somebody using your account right now. They're watching the British baking show.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, gosh. That's so crazy. Okay, what was your last impulse buy? We'll do two more after this.
What was my last impulse buy?
I'm looking around this room right now, and I feel like this room is
This entire room is an impulse.
This entire fucking... Is that a picture of a woman with a
anal plug in her ass. I pointed that out earlier. I don't know. Man, probably something for my camera. I bought something stupid. Running shoes that were thin-soled running
shoes. And that was an impulse buy?
No, I thought about it. No, I do very few things that are impulse. I'm not very impulsive, sadly. I create this artifice of impulse.
Okay, well, the answer is he doesn't have any impulse buys, people. It just doesn't happen. Okay, what is not a big deal to most people but is torture to you?
Oh. I feel like I know the answer to this one. Being late or not showing up when you say you're going to be somewhere.
Oh,
that is huge for me.
Yeah, that's... And you live in LA, I'm sorry.
Yeah, oh yeah, I get my heart broken a lot.
Well, it's just like LA.
Yeah.
They call it Mormon Standard Time. Mountain Standard Time. Mormon Standard Time. You'll say, let's meet at 7, but they're not going to be there till 7:15.
Really? Why are Mormons late?
I don't know. Because they have a lot of kids.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, they're wrangling their kids. That's probably what it is. Or at least they like you to think that. Have you ever planned a prank months in advance?
There was this... one time I won Employee of the Month at this bar that I worked at. And I had a plaque for myself made. And I was like naked in the picture. And I had it wrapped up and I had my manager present it to me.
Wow.
It's so good.
We're going to leave with this one. And only because I know there is a video we can reference this with, maybe, if it's what I think you're going to say. But you do live in
Tarzana.
Okay. What is the strangest thing you have ever saw while walking down your street?
Well, I know the one you're thinking, which is just a flurry of condoms on my street, just tied up condoms just hanging out. But we also have what I like to call a murder tunnel, which is right next to us, and it goes right under the 101 in LA. And under that, I've seen multiple people passed out, people with like needles by them.
So wait, you're telling me not to go on a walk down that tunnel?
No, it's fine. It's LA. I mean, that's just pretty.
Okay, because I saw it and I was like, oh, that looks like a nice walk.
It's a nice walk. Just go with somebody.
Okay.
I'll take you through the Myrtle Tunnel.
Sounds good.
There's trolls. That actually reminds me, like the whole troll thing, trolls live under bridges. Like that's just homeless people for all of history have lived under bridges.
They just want you to give them money.
Right, exactly. Pay the toll.
Can I just suggest something? If I have any homeless listeners, which I know I don't, can you guys, like honestly, I wouldn't even be offended if you had a phone. Can you just make a Venmo?
Oh, yeah.
Why has nobody done this? And I know someone has to have. But yeah, like,
I'm sure San Francisco they have it.
I want to so bad give people money. And I'm like, do you take Amex? Right. I have no way to do this. Why have they not? Is it because they just don't want to admit that they have a phone?
I mean, yeah, maybe. Maybe it doesn't makes them look like they're less needy.
Bougie. This is my Cash App. Mm-hmm. GoFundMe. Cool. And I was going to make one more joke about you living in Tarzana. I was going to say it's like a horny E5 just went down the street. I don't know. It's stupid. It's dumb. That's why I don't do stand-up.
I do podcasts instead.
Even then, I don't think anyone's laughing. I'm pretty sure they just want me to shut up. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. To all two of you who are probably listening.
They're like, no, keep
talking. They probably
talking.
Think I like gave up on this podcast.
Abandoned ship a long
Honestly,
time.
Honestly, I like changed the name. Oh. That's a whole story. I deleted several episodes and then I like... Anyway, it's just a mess. And now I'm recording again, but I'm doing a new angle this
okay,
time.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah.
It's exciting.
I'm back. We just don't know how often. Sorry for the inconsistency. It'll happen if it happens. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, this was fun. Thank you for being on here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
We're just shy of 90 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
Where can the listeners find you and all of your glorious content?
Everything is at... Sean Alf, S-H-A-W-N-A-L-F-F. That's my TikTok, my Instagram, my Twitter, my OnlyFans, and I think my Sex Panther. You can also go to Balesa.co and look for Zero to Hero or Balesa Zero to Hero Sean Alf, and you'll find me.
Yeah, you're smart. I created my Twitter, and I put the number one.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't change it. And now I'm like I'm not even going to say it. Yeah, that's it. I'm not even going to suggest anything. Anyway, definitely check out the Balesa. Super great stuff, even for men, especially if you want to learn how to please women if your dick goes soft. Apparently. You can go from zero to hero in your own home.
Real quick.
Honestly, truly. Get a Hitachi. Like, you don't have to be on camera. No. You can be zero to hero in your own home, your neighborhood, in life.
Mm-hmm. Be your own hero.
People. Really, that's it.
Get a Hitachi.
I can be your hero baby. It's that simple. Just get a Hitachi. You will be her hero. It's not your competition. It's your ally. Truly.
I just thought of a great TikTok, which means we need to go and make that TikTok.
I've made so many dildo and vibrator, and I just like love making TikToks. Or I can't make TikToks with my vibrator, but I do reels, and I just love it.
Yeah.
I think LaWand is now following me. I don't know who LaWanda is. So LaWand is a like, not to get into this, but men, if you want to buy your woman a vibrator, get her a LaWand. But it's like a pretty good vibrator company.
Oh, and so they started following you to see if you.
Because I made one with my LaWand, so now they followed me.
I like it.
Because I've made some TikToks with their, or reels with their stuff, so. And not a big deal. I was just fangirling, that's all. So, all right, cool. Well, thank you for being on. Check out all of his links. He's got good feet pictures, and we'll leave it at that.
Bye.
See ya.